So, Arnold's speaker tonight, she'll be the first one to tell you she's not a great speaker. We're talkers here. We're talkers. And our young lady this evening is going to be talking about what is in her heart. And everybody already loves her. It's our Kimberly.
Thank you. How's everyone tonight? Good. So I think doing mediumship message bearing up here is much easier than giving a talk sometimes. I wasn't nervous till I stand up here. I'm like, where did all you people come from? It wasn't that many people. So tonight I'm going to talk about tithing because I've been thinking about it the last few months and just kind of what it means to me and maybe what people think it should be. But so I'm going to kind of put a different spin on it a little bit. So first I'm going to give you the definition. I found this in the Freedom Dictionary. I didn't even know there was a dictionary called the Freedom Dictionary. But it's usually in a plural verse. Christianity uses it as a tenth part of agricultural or other produce, personal income, or profits contributed either voluntarily or as a tax for the support of the church or clergy or for charitable purposes. Historically, it's been as like a levy or one-tenth. So in like the old, like, Old Testament times, like agricultural, tangible goods, and livestock. And then it's a tenth or a very small part of anything. So just kind of think about those different meanings as we go through it. You know, the fact that it's a voluntary support. It doesn't necessarily mean income. It doesn't necessarily mean money. It can be in things, goods, and as you'll see, your time as we go through this. So I'm just going to kind of give you a background on some of the old stuff. I kind of went through and looked at some different ways that people use tithing, kind of like in the Old Testament, because the church I grew up in, and this kind of comes from experience because I've been kind of cleaning out and wondering why some of the things that in the church that I was brought up in taught me, because it just never seemed completely right and never felt 100% right. And it's interesting as I went through the different ways, the different cultures that do it, that I realized, you know, my church kind of followed Moses' law on tithing in their own way, not to the letter. Of course, they had to make it their own and to whatever served their needs and their purposes. And so with that, you know, I haven't felt like, I feel like it's this obligation to do, to give. And that's not a good feeling. We're supposed to be giving because our hearts want to and it desires to, not because we're obligated to do this. And so some of Moses' law was basically, I'm going to kind of compare it to my church and that, because that's kind of where I found how interesting it was to me. So basically, the law was the law of it. And for you people who study the Bible here, I might not get it exactly right, Barbara and Dan, but bear with me, okay? You'll know. You'll probably be the only ones that know if I really, really mess up. It was the law of Israel. It wasn't the church. For my church, it was the law of the church. And so they also had tithing. It was a seven-year cycle. It was first, second, and third tithe. And every year, a tenth of the agricultural produce of the land, think about the agricultural produce of the land, would be given, whether fruits or vegetables, to be tithed. But, you know, being in a desert, there probably wasn't a lot of fruits and vegetables, so they kind of gave goods and livestock. And where would that go? It would kind of go to Jerusalem or to their communities to help with the clergy, what they call them, Levites, right? Is that right? Yeah. Because they were working for God. So it was kind of like you were giving back to your community so you can help it. Help in a way. And in a way, I thought about it. I'm like, it's almost like they had their own little economy going. You know, it's like people were giving and receiving. And so people were kind of required to pay. If you think about it, here in our society right now, if people were kind of buying a little bit more here and there, our economy would be doing just maybe a little bit better. Because it's kind of that whole aspect of giving. Instead of holding on to what we have with an open heart, give some of what we have. So years 1, 2, 4, and 5 was their second tithe. Oh, that's where they brought the second tithe to Jerusalem. And it was 1/10 of their finished produce was given to Jerusalem. And if they were too far away or they had to give money, they were actually fined 1/5 if they had to give coins because they didn't want money. To be given in money, which I thought was really fascinating. So here's our concept. Even the old way wasn't about the money, but here somehow in today's society, they've kind of made it a little bit about the money. So we go back to the first, second, third. So like my church was, we'd have first tithe, 10%. That 10% would go to the church. You had to mail it in and you were itemized. Like if you were baptized, you were required to tithe that 10%. And it was kind of like the honor system, but they certainly did make you very much aware that you didn't tithe that month if you did. Whether you could or couldn't, it was a requirement to be there. And then, but every year we did the second tithe as well. We didn't just switch off the years. We had first and second tithe all the time. And that was also 10%. So think about it. That was 20% of our person's income gross in my church that they had to give away. And that other 10% was kind of saved for our high holy days. We had a thing called the Feast of Tabernacles where we went away every year to go honor God, and we had high holy days, and so we'd give the money then or use it for the church. So in a way, you can look at it, oh, I saved for a trip once a year. But it still was required, and you had to go away and go to the Feast of Tabernacles every year. It wasn't really of a choice either, and there were certain requirements, pay this, pay that, you know. So as you can see, that's a lot. That's a lot to take in. If you think about it right now where you're at, could you imagine just every month, every paycheck giving 20% from the top? This is before government. To the church, it's a lot. It's a really big hardship for a lot of people right now. And I look back and I think, wow, my mom really struggled, but it's kind of amazing also what we got in return, because she did it because her heart felt it was right and she believed in it. And things would happen. Good things would always come back to us because she did it with an open heart. She didn't, I really believe my mom didn't feel like she was obligated to do it. Then it comes to the third tithe, which in Moses' law was done on the third and sixth year. And so they set aside 10%, and that money that they set aside, that extra third tithe, was to go straight to widows, orphans, strangers, the ministry, the clergy, straight to them. And you were required, if a stranger walked up, you needed to offer them money. But you did that in the third and sixth year. So you kind of think about it, where depending on when maybe somebody grew up, you know, there was probably always a third and a sixth year for somebody going along. So people weren't necessarily homeless. They were kind of being taken care of, or wanderers that come along through the land, you know, and they needed a place to stay that night. They kind of would show them a place to stay or house them. And I think that's interesting. So our third year, how much do you think they probably wanted? 10%. So that third year, and they didn't have the seventh year break and then restart the cycle. It was every 3 years. So 30%, unless you were really struggling. And I do remember my mom, she's a single mom, raising two of us kids, having to do the 31st. And it was hard. I mean, I remember it really being hard. And I didn't fully understand it because I couldn't understand when the whole point of that was to go for the people in need. And they would show up. My mom had a need. She shouldn't have needed that. She was trying to raise two kids on her own. And they didn't help her. She was a member of this church, but they didn't help her all the time. And it kind of made me think about it, that as I grew up, that, you know, they're obligating, and I always thought that was wrong. In my heart and my soul, it never felt 100% right. And, you know, and that's one of the reasons why in the church that I stopped going to that church. And it's been a long time since I've even come back to a church. This is actually the first church I have come back to since being part of that church. And that was, say I was 20, I'm not going to give away my age. Yeah, it was probably about 15, 16 years ago. And then I started coming back to this church. I started coming to this church about 5 years ago. And I thought it was interesting when I came here that there wasn't that pressure of you have to give, you have to, like, constantly talking about it and being there. And it was kind of refreshing. But at the same time, you know, you wonder where things happen and, you know, why they don't push it or whatever. And you think maybe there's something strange. Maybe there's something else going on. I mean, you know, because when you're so trained in that one way growing up, and it was ingrained in me from the time I was born, it just doesn't feel right. It feels like something's off. Now I know that's not the case. But so some of the other, I'm just going to go through some of the other cultures just really quick. Like Jewish is 10% of one's earnings go to charity. And again, you know, it's going to charity. You know, it's not necessarily going to the church. Christian Catholics usually 10% of anything, but mostly money. And they speak of it as a divine ordinance and obligation. I think that's very interesting that out of all the different ones, that when I was reading different ones, they were the ones that actually used the word obligation. Islam, I was thinking about you when I saw that. They give a small percentage. I never quite saw how much.
2.5%.
Is it 2.5%? to one's income to charity, so it's supposed to serve as welfare to the poor and deprived Muslims. In France, they have a land tax. At first, it was voluntary, and then it became mandatory. It's basically equals like 1/13 and includes grains, whey, wine, hay, vegetables, poultry, veal, lamb, and pork. And it's meant to support the local parishes, basically. You're supposed to support them with the food, the needs, their needs, basically. Because I guess if you're working for God, you're not supposed to be working for money, technically. In Greece, there's no church tax, but there's a mandatory tithe. The state pays the church, the clergy of the Church of Greece, in return for use of real estate. And then the rest of the income is from voluntary tax deductible donations. And then there's countries that do government collections for religious offerings. They require you. It's Austria, Finland, Denmark, and Germany, which it can range from anywhere to 1 to 3%. And that goes to support a lot of their different churches. But it's kind of interesting how everyone's kind of taken it a different way. So, throughout history, tithing has been, I believe, when reading through this and kind of making me go through this, that the intention has been to give for charity, to help, those who really want to practice God and study and teach others, the ability to do that without having to worry about a lot of the menial things, and not to overdo it or take it. Of course, there's been religions that have taken it to the extreme and misused it and abused it. But, we have to kind of forgive them of that. That's what they're going through. That's their lesson. I keep going back to the fact that I think it really encouraged economic growth. I mean, I think it's kind of amazing when they were just kind of giving parts of their food or their clothing that they made or the sheep or whatever, and just kind of making the community run. I found that interesting how if you really get down to really what it was meant for and the purpose, they kind of had a plan. So, and I think it's interesting too, the New Testament, at least where I couldn't find it, doesn't really mention tithing per se, but it does suggest it. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So God's still saying we need to give. He's just not telling us how. He's asking us to use our discretion and see how we can give back. So in modern times, I think it's money and time. This is basically what it boils down to. I think it's our money and our time is how we can give, how we can tithe, if you want to use that word. So maybe tithing won't take on such the chalkboard feeling sometimes when I'm done with this. At least I'm hoping. So I think with tithing church, I don't know for anyone else. For me, it kind of created a distrust in what the process is and where my money would be going. But when I'm looking through this again, I come down to it. Really, for me, it's about both. It's money and time, because we'll just discuss like some of the things associated with it. Obviously money is the main one. So you're probably thinking, oh, here she goes. She's going to tell us. Got to give that money. But I think it's important, but it's not one of the main things. Like, so tithing at church, if you think about it, your place where you come, like here at FSC, it's a place where you come to fellowship. You come to learn, you get comfort, and worship. But what does it take to run this building? Think about your own household. What does it take to run your household? You got rent, you got utilities. They don't really have food here, but you got supplies. It costs, There's a cost associated with church or with your household. And, we can't really just go about giving, like, our ministers, like Millie and Jeff and them, some sheep and oranges. I mean, I don't know if that would keep it open unless the lights run off oranges or something. I don't know. But if you think about it, it has to be able to be maintained, so we can use this place 1, 2, 3, 4, sometimes 4 times a week. So the funds that, you might donate or give during the offering helps go to the church and then maybe the community. Because sometimes, a lot of times we don't realize as a lot of people who are really in need, that they don't go to their friends and family. Sometimes the first place they come to is church when they really just need that little extra help. And if the church doesn't have the funds, how horrible would you feel if you had to tell somebody no? And here you're supposed to be able to be there to support the community and the people who are part of your church. And I can tell you this, though, that here at FSC, the offerings that they do, it doesn't even come close to covering anything in this church. I mean, if you think about it, I think we usually on average have 60 people here at church every week. And I'm talking about Sundays right now. And maybe the average is about $5 to a person. So you multiply that times 4, that's only $1,200 a month. I mean, could you run your entire household on $1,200 a month? Some people might be able to, but it just really depends. But you don't have anything left to give, right, to others to support that. And on Sundays, they have like the second offering. They call it the magic basket. And that's usually what they designate to go towards people in need. But really, on average, I think they collect, I think it's like $200 a month. I mean, that's not going to really help a lot of different people. So if you think about that, as far as the money goes, it might not be a lot. So maybe that extra dollar could help. And maybe it's not just giving the church. Maybe it's the person next to you or you know someone's in there. You can tie it by donating to charity as well. Like, I don't know if your favorite charities. There are a lot of charities out there that do research for cancer, for abuse, for wide variety, dogs, animals that you can give there. And they can help make a difference. But that's tithing. That's giving something. That's sharing. It's sharing part of what you work so hard at and what you earn. And then you can also, like, other ways to tithe to family members, strangers, with money. I'm just going to kind of do a list that I thought of. There's tons. I keep thinking of more and more and more. But maybe you know someone who needs gas to get to work just that one day. So give them $10. You have $10 in your pocket, and you know you can afford it. They get to work, so they didn't lose out on $100 that day. You know, you just kind of help them along, because it does come back to you. If you give it really with an open heart, it's going to come back. Maybe you have an extra room and you can offer somebody really cheap rent because it's just an empty room. You know, maybe they need it for a month or two. You can be inspired to buy a gift card to the grocery store or something, or go buy somebody groceries. Or, you know, you might make so much food and you always know you have too much. So package a little bit of it and take it down to either the person homeless on the street, or maybe the family next door might need a little extra. Maybe they were sick. Maybe they just couldn't afford it that day, and your one meal got them a meal, you know. It's just, there's different ways you can think of it. Or even come down to buying the person behind you a cup of coffee. That's tithing, because you're making their day, and it maybe costs you a couple dollars. And even the homeless people, if you think about it, sometimes I think, you know, you drive by and you think, oh, I'm not going to give that person, they're just going to do it for drugs. Well, they do it for drugs. That's what they use it for. It's not for us to decide. But maybe that extra dollar got them their hit so that they don't go and commit a crime that night to get the rest of their money. I'm not, you know, it's just, or send money to someone that, and it's anonymous. There's just so many ways you can do it. But it doesn't have to be a lot. The point is, do it with an open heart. Do it because you want to. Tithe because you want to, not because you feel like you have to. But so all the ways that you give to people or you buy them lunch, I want you to think about that. That is tithing, you guys. That is a form of tithing. So all of us are doing it in some way or another, just taking a different perspective as to how you're doing it. So besides money, the other thing is time. And I think this is important because a lot of people here, we all have time. So if, let's say, we take 10% of a day, that's 2.4 hours, right? You might think, oh, how am I going to, you know, tithe my time at 2.4 hours? You can do it throughout the day. There's so many ways you can do it. Well, one of the ways, you can volunteer at church. Like here, we've got the people who volunteer, everyone who here volunteers, the ministers, the greeters, choir, Janie, the healers, the message bearers. Am I missing anything else? It's all volunteer. We volunteer our time. The speakers, we volunteer our time to do this because we want to. We want to work for God. We want to tithe our time. And for some, that might be the only thing that they can do, and that's perfectly okay. You can volunteer for charity. There's other ones. I could put on a little plug. For cancer, there's a beer fest. I need volunteers. There's beer again. Sorry. Yeah. See, the song was perfect. I need the beer. But volunteer your time in different charities, or going to the Humane Society, or reading books to children, or you know, volunteering your time for friends and family. But there's so many different ways you can volunteer your time. You can volunteer your love for someone, to cry with them, listen to their joy, comfort them. You can volunteer your smile. You can volunteer sincere compliments, you know, to strangers. in customer service, write a nice letter, because maybe writing that nice letter to someone means, hey, they just got a promotion, or they just got a raise, or they just got a bonus because they needed one more person to give them a thumbs up, you know? Send a card to someone just saying thank you. So, oh, I think my time's up. So there are so many ways we can tithe, and I'm just going to challenge you to be creative and enjoy it and just really think of it in a different way and do it with joy and gladness. And if your heart's really in it, I can guarantee that blessings are going to come your way. And I want you to leave you with one thing too. Always give your best, not what you don't want or least desire. Because would you want God to give you his best? I'm going to leave that with you. Thank you.